No one should ever love me like you do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions. No one should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hand somehow. You really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. Who am I, who am I, to be loved by you? Who am I? To be loved by you, who am I, who am I, who am I? Last night, confidence was shaken, my wounds and my past were saying, no one should ever love me like you do. On this road, you take my hand somehow. You really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. Who am I, who am I, who am I, to be loved by you? Who am I? Who am I, who am I? The way I put you through what you had to see. I'm a train wreck, I'm a mess. You've seen the best and the worst of me. Still I can't imagine that I've earned your trust. I don't understand where your love comes from. To be loved by you. Who am I, who am I? To be loved by you. Who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you. Who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you. Who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you. Who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you. To be loved by you, who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you, who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you, who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you, who am I, who am I, who am I? To be loved by you.
Surrender. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart. Break me apart. I need you. Through the dark, blends every part of me. All I am, oh, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say. Let your good. You're good, God. Your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Maybe weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, he never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Never fail, and you never will. Always never fail, and you never will. You never fail. Oh, you never will. So surrender all I
Desire to show others what your blood has done for us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done this week, for bringing us together today. And Lord, we just invite your presence, Lord. We feel your spirit, and we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ah. So I'm assuming that you enjoy the change of pace today with all the changes in our hallways and in our classrooms and on stage. Just wait till tomorrow night. Are you excited about Vacation Bible School? All right, yes, yes. There's going to be a lot of children present, and we're so thankful for the volunteers that have come forward, been trained, and gotten their instructions from Pastor Miranda and Pastor Gary, and we're excited about that today. We're excited about all the visitors that we'll be having and the children that will be brought closer to the Lord, and some of them may actually hear for the first time Bible stories. So let's just give praise today for all that's going to be happening this week. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Another thing coming up very soon, and I always get a plug for women's ministries, you know that, is the women's ministry pool party. Ladies, we do love to splash around sometimes, cool off in these hot weathers, and we'll also be having a meal there. So be excited, sign up, and get your tickets. We have to have a head count so that we can get the food prepared for us that evening. But it's at Beachwood Country Club, and so a lot of you may have never been there before, but most of us have with the Easter services and things. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, ladies. We're going to get together. We're going to have a great time. So get your tickets today, either at the Welcome Center or the coffee shop. All right. At this time, we're going to have Brittany come and share with us in song as we give our offerings. Our offering buckets are at the front. There's also some at the back if that'd be more convenient for you. Thank you.
I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry. forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else.
The Lord. Come on, stand to your feet and get caught up in Him for just a moment, would you? Come on, thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy that endures forever, the Bible says. Come on. I don't need anything, Lord. I just need you. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have a shopping list, God. I just want to be in your presence today. Come on. Lift your hands and love Him for just a moment, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it again, Brittany. I'm sorry. Come on, sing it. Worship Him today, church. Hallelujah.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we
else, Jesus, nothing else.
Hallelujah. Nothing else, Lord. Nothing else will do just to be in your presence. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you today. We give you glory and honor. And Lord, we ask that you move now among us, God, as we receive your word today. Father, we pray that you'd prepare our hearts, God, to receive, Lord, just a picture of your mission and what you're doing across the earth. In Jesus' strong name. In Jesus' strong name, we give you praise today. Amen. Amen. Come on. High five somebody for you. Seated. Come on. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated in his presence. Well, so glad to be with you today. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow night, 6:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Who knows? They may go 2 weeks. You never know, right? Pastor Miranda said, oh, yes, I know. We're going 1 week. All right. Vacation Bible School. Don't forget it. And Saturday, men, mark your calendar, 9 o'clock in the morning. Joel Tapscott will meet with the men of CSIC right here Saturday morning. That's an important day. And it's important for your future because we're going to talk about men's ministry and what that's going to look like in the coming months. I want to preach the gospel to you today. Amen? All right with that? I've entitled the message simply, The Gospel. The Gospel. Let me read a passage of Scripture. I hope it won't be more than you'll read this week. But it's Romans chapter 1, verse number 17. If I get tired, I'm just going to jump in the pool. Come on, somebody. Amen? These guys did a great job on our props this time, as always. How many of you have Facebook and you look and you notice that historically, pictures are coming up from Vacation Bible Schools gone by. You seen that on your feed this week? I got several pictures, and it was amazing just to look back and see the sets for each year. This year's going to be an incredible year. Romans chapter 1, let's look at the first 17 verses. I just started writing, and I thought, you know what, when do I quit? I feel the spirit of Mary Harper here. I'm going to study the whole book of Romans here. So I started writing, and I just couldn't stop. Paul pulls out his wallet and shows you his license. That's what he does. He gives you his credentials. Listen to what he says. Paul, he says, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, called to be set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I love how he links it back to the old covenant. Regarding his son, that's what it was all about. Who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness, he said he was appointed the Son of God in the power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship. I thought about that. I thought, wow, that's a wide gap between just receiving the grace of God and then all the way up to moving forward to apostleship. What an incredible credential that God has given Paul. He says that this is a call that all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith in his namesake. And you also, now he switches gears. Enough about me, Paul says, let me talk about you. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Man, I welcome our online audience today, and I know that as some of those are watching today, listen, you need to hear the Spirit of the Lord today to remind you, to tell you, to knock on your heart's door and tell you that you are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's what the divine calling is on your life. You're called to belong to him. To all in Rome, he says, who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 8, first, I just want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. The gospel has already been moving. The message of the gospel has already been moving and penetrating the earth. He says, God, whom I serve in my spirit and preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness. He says, I just want to tell you, I'm constantly reminded of you. When is he reminded? In prayer, as he hears the Holy Spirit speak to them about you. In my prayers, verse 10, at all times. And I pray that now, at last by God's will, the way may be open for you to come to me. Listen, he's realizing there are people in Rome who need the Lord Jesus. Come on. He's realizing there are people in Rome who need relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 11, I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift and make you strong. Amen. How many of you have enjoyed times when you've sat down with someone else in the faith, and when you got up from the table, yeah, you had a cup of coffee and an apple fritter, come on. But you were reminded that that was a tremendous deposit that they made in your life over a cup of coffee. Come on. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to understand, I long to see you. I'm writing you right now, but I long to see you with my own eyes, sit at the table with you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is verse 12, that you and I, both of us, may be mutually encouraged. Come on, mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I've planned many, many times to pack my bags and come see you, but have been prevented from doing so. And in order that I might have a harvest among you. Man, Rome is on his heart. He says, I have had among the Gentiles. I'm obligated, he says in verse 14, to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager, come on, to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed. Check this out, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, look at this. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. It's not about your works. It's not about your good deeds. But he said it is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Early one morning just this past week, I was awakened in my spirit. I don't know, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 3:15, somewhere in there. I was awakened from a good sleep. How many of y'all know what a good sleep is? Come on. They call it REM. They call it when you get there. Well, I don't know what you call it from a scientific basis, but I know that I get it quite frequently, all right? And I was in a good sleep, and the Holy Spirit just woke me up. And as soon as my eyes were opened up, I realized, hey, it's dark. It's not time to get up. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say unto me, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I said, what? I said, Lord, what? He said, get up, boy. Get up, let's talk. So I just kind of quietly, you know, got up and just moved into the living area there in our home. And I just sat and I had about 5 or 6 hours with the Lord. And I just downloaded what the Holy Spirit said to me for today. Amen? Come on. I just downloaded what the Holy Spirit said to me. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I turned over to Eugene Peterson's version, The Message. Always love to check that out for looser language, better understanding, clarity. And so listen to what Paul says here in The Message. He says, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in him, starting with Jews and then right on down to everyone else. It's a powerful plan. Paul said, I ain't ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm going to herald it. I'm not ashamed of this. Paul, a man who probably made this divine trek in his mind over and over many times, he's probably visited his own history. How many of you have taken time sometime just to go back and reflect about where God's brought you from? Come on, anybody? Where God's brought you from. How he pulled you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Amen. Sometimes you go through places. I mentioned it in my last message to you. Remember, I said to you, I can take you to the place. I can take you right down there, milepost 7, Nag's Head, the place where I opened the door on unrighteousness for my life. I can take you to the place. I can show you the very station, the little convenience store that's still in business today, still pumping out things to everybody who wants to pay the money and get it. I could take you right there, because that place for me, when I passed milepost 7, I remember that was the day when I swung open the door to ungodliness in my life, and I invited it in. Amen? And it wasn't long before it had a grip on me. It had a hold on my life. so I can remember, and some of you can take that journey. I can imagine that Paul many times would take a journey back because he was a mean dog, y'all. Come on, Paul was a mean dog. He was. Paul was mean. The Bible says he breathed out every breath that he had. He breathed out hatred toward God's people. Come on. He breathed out threatening statements and slaughterings against God's people. And so if you look at Acts chapter 9, it gives you kind of an indication there of the severity of what Paul was doing in the spiritual realm to God's people. Meanwhile, Saul, verse 1, Acts chapter 9, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest. Take me to the top. Come on now. Take me to the place where I can get some authority, he said. And he asked him for letters. Somebody say letters. To the synagogues in Damascus. He wanted to get into their data bank. Come on. He wanted to find out who it is among those people that are listed on the synagogue, but they've already embraced this crazy message of God's grace through a man named Jesus. He wanted to find out who was on the list, and he was going to go after them. Verse number 2 says, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way. Somebody say the way. The way was that group of people who had forsaken their Judaism to the level of receiving Christ and following his message. Amen? They're called people of the way. Whether men or women, that he might, watch this now, that he might take them as prisoners. All I'm doing is studying the Bible out loud. Is that all right? Studying the Bible out loud. He discovered that when he persecuted Jesus' followers, it didn't do any good. You know why? Because he would persecute them and they wouldn't do anything but run like a dog and spread the message of Jesus all over the place. Okay? All over the place. That's why he said, listen, man, your message is hitting the world. It's getting out there. You don't even have the internet. You ain't even got Wi-Fi. And you're getting the message of Jesus all over the planet. Okay? And so listen, Paul, he had to visit this from time to time in his mind. He's a man who persecuted Jesus' followers, and they would just flee and spread the message. They had taken their message to Judea, to Samaria. Does this sound familiar with anybody? They had taken the message to Judea, to Samaria, and as far north as Damascus. Isn't it amazing that the great commission that Jesus had left them was being fulfilled? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Sorry, I'm in the King James because I'm quoting it from my mind, all right? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall what? You shall be my martyrs. You shall be willing to go all the way up to the point of death. Well, it doesn't say that in our text, but what you have here, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. I remember many, many years ago when I started looking that word up, witnesses. What does it really mean to be a witness? And the word witness is translated in that text in the Greek language, martyr. In other words, if you had to die for me, you would. All right? If you had to die for me, if you had to take it all the way up to the point of dying for me, you would be my witness in Jerusalem. Notice the geographic progression here. Jerusalem, a little far out. Judea, a little farther out. Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. What Saul had thought would be a simple task, what Saul had thought would be a simple job to stop the gospel message, had become quite a challenge for him. And he could not get the gospel message stopped. He's a zealous young Jewish leader who opposed the message of the gospel. He opposed it because it gives authority to Jesus, the Messiah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became what? Flesh, and made his dwelling among us. Paul had embraced this. Paul had embraced that Jesus Christ was in fact who? God in the flesh. All right? He was God in the flesh. He was Messiah. He was the anointed one. Christos is the word. Christos, the anointed one of God. He had embraced this truth and he had begun to understand. Paul had begun to understand the reality of it. We're going to see that in the story later today. He was a zealous young Jewish leader. He opposed this message of Jesus. He didn't want it. He didn't want anything to do with it. In fact, he wanted to shut it down. And so he opposed it because it is the very power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. But in his time's coming, as he begins his trek to the city called Damascus. Damascus was a large city. It was about 133 miles, if you look at it on those pages in your Bible that you never use called maps. If you look, you always wonder why they're there. If you look and you see about 133 miles north, that's up, above Jerusalem, there was a huge city called Damascus. It has great roads to the north to Syria and Antioch. I've been up there. East to the Arabia and Babylon. I've been there. We're talking Iraq and Iran. It has great roads to the Decapolis and Judea down toward the south. And it was also known as the port where the desert tribes would come in and trade their goods. It was like Walmart on wheels. Come on, somebody. They would come in and they would trade their goods, and you bring this and take that back, and you bring this and take that back. All kinds of trade going on. It was Amazon in the early days. Come on. It was the Amazon of the early days. And so the Bible says that Saul is going to obtain letters from the synagogue. What does that mean? Break that down for me, Pastor. What are you talking about? Well, you see, Jewish Sanhedrin, kind of like the spiritual police, all right? They're the spiritual highway patrolmen. And they had religious jurisdiction over everybody who had embraced Judaism. Saul is this young Jewish leader, and man, he's thoroughly trained. He's equipped. He's prepared. Why? Because he sat down at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel is a chief Jewish leader, if you look him up. Gamaliel was the leader of the Sanhedrin in the first century. He was a Pharisee, and he drilled Saul like a drill sergeant, and he wanted him to be the Pharisee of all Pharisees. This is why Saul had such a hatred. He was religion to the bone. Come on. Not relationship. He was religion to the bone. He was a hater of anyone who embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me, or am I going too fast? Come on. I can't help it, man. I got to get this word out, all right? He was a hater of people who followed Jesus. The sad thing is this. Jesus was and is the fulfillment of all of Judaism. Think about that for a minute. He is the fulfillment. He is the epitome of Jewishness. Come on. What does Jewish mean? What does Jewish mean anyway? Anybody know? Praise. So, you know, our lives should do what? Should praise who? The Creator, the God who put us here, the God who spoke and said, let it be, and it was. He's the creator of all of this, and he's the one who sustains you and I. And so he is the fulfillment of all of Judaism. He's the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus is the very fulfillment of all they had ever known, and they are rejecting Jesus. Amen? You ever notice that when Jesus goes into the towns and goes into the little areas that he ministers, where does he go first? Anybody, where does he go? Goes to the synagogue. First place he goes is to the church of the day, the synagogue of the day. Why? Because Jesus wanted to make certain that as he's teaching, as he's proclaiming, that he's given them a divine on life, full life illustration, that I am the fulfillment of what you've been studying. I am the fulfillment of everything you've ever known. And if you look at Paul, when Paul goes on missionary journeys, as he started on any one of them, the first place he goes when he gets to the city is where? The synagogue. He wants to go and he wants to proclaim Jesus as the very fulfillment. And Saul, after his major conversion, he would make sure he hit the synagogue first. Saul hated Jesus. Saul hated any follower of Jesus. And Saul is going all the way to the high priest, and he's going to get those authoritative letters of permission to arrest anyone, to put him in jail, who was a Jesus follower. If you'd forsaken Judaism and embraced Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, then you were labeled, and guess what? Can I just tell you today? You're still labeled, all right? In this 21st century today, Christians are labeled. I'm just telling you, man, everything is out there. Everything is out there. And you know what they're trying to do now? They're trying to attack even your little children, your grandchildren. Okay? We were just on the West Coast last week visiting our family. God bless your hearts for blessing us to travel and go see our kids. And they all said, hey, send Carpenter Shop a greeting for us. just the incredible work that God is doing out there on the West Coast through Josh and Cassandra. Powerful prayer meetings and worship services we experienced. But you know, we were traveling, and we were in a part of town that, I mean, I look all over the city and there's rainbow flags everywhere. I was like, what's going on here? And all they're doing is they're propagating an alternative lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle. They're propagating it everywhere. Got a flag up. Hey, that means, hey, you need to shop here. Shop right here. And it was Pride Week when we were there. And then I go to a store. We were looking up, you know, when you're grandparents, you got to buy stuff for your grandkids. Come on. You can't just keep your money in your pocket. You got to buy them grandkids stuff. So we wanted to, Pastor Joy felt an anointing to go to the Disney store. Come on. So we go to the Disney store. And Disney has a whole line of the rainbow line. Come on. Disney has a whole line called the rainbow line. And that rainbow line is for little kids so that they can be taught. They can be taught this alternative lifestyle from a young age. That it's not just okay, but it's good. Okay? They can be taught that. I just stood there and looked at that shirt and I thought, what a shame. What a shame that you're going to catch a kid and you're going to teach them. You're going to teach them ungodly things from a young age. That's the kind of earth that you and I live in today. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. Why not? It's the truth. Why not? They're going to shut your message off to Facebook. Go ahead. It's okay. It'll come back. They can't keep you away, but for so long. It's a shame. It's a shame. And listen, the people of Rome had gotten so bad. Read the book. People of Rome, if you read past chapter 1 and go out and dive into the rest of it, you'll find that men were exchanging relationships with men in the first century. This is not a 21st century thing. The gay lifestyle is not something that's brand new. They were doing that. And if you go to Israel with me sometime, you'll see why. Because they had all of these places. Nancy, Melvin, you remember what you saw. All these little stools sitting there where about 55, 60, maybe up to 100 naked men would get in one shower and take a bath together. You've seen it. You've seen it. Warm water flowing in there. And if you get 100 naked men in a room, that's dangerous. Come on. And then there was a place for women. You say, well, they stayed separate. No, they didn't. They hooked up. They crossed back and forth. And then they exchanged relationships with each other, male to male, female to female. This is not a 21st century issue. It was present in the first century. And guess what? I'm here to tell you this morning, it's wrong. Okay? I said it's wrong. Well, you know what? Somebody told me to go to Carpenter Shop. That was a great church. Just because I said what I just said doesn't mean this is not a great church. This is a great church. Great enough to tell you the truth, okay? Great enough to tell you the truth of what the Bible says. Listen, this is the message of what? The gospel. I'm here to tell you good news. Good news. Jesus Christ came to give you life. And that more abundantly. The enemy comes, John 10:10, to steal, to kill, to steal everything that God intended for you. To steal that, to take that away from you. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the abundance. Come on. I don't know about you, but I want the abundant life. Come on. I want the abundant life. Acts chapter 9 bears out the truth of Paul's conversion as he neared Damascus. Look at Acts chapter 9. Verse number 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, the Bible says, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Verse number 5, it hit him so hard. He says, who are you, Lord? He had to acknowledge, who are you? He's the one, listen, he's the one, he's staring at the one who he hates. But he said, who are you, Lord? Who would have the power to knock me down to the ground like that? Who would have the power to, as one commentator said, knock him off his horse? I don't know that he was riding a horse, but so be it. He's on the ground. Who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Anybody ever said, I want to hear the voice of God? Come on. I want to hear the Lord speak to me. Listen, Every time I've seen in the Bible where God spoke to somebody, they were on the ground, okay? You can't stand in his presence, folks. You can't, listen, not like that. Not like that. Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now get yourself up off the ground. Go into the city and you will be told, you flaming evangelist for Judaistic, Pharisaical life, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do for the next several years, okay? I'm going to tell you what your assignment is. Get up and go into the city. And by the way, I'm going to strike you blind for 3 days and put you on a fast, okay? Whether you wanted to or not. You're going on a fast, man. No Cheerios, no bananas in your cereal, and no whole milk. Come on, somebody. You ain't getting nothing to eat. You ain't getting nothing to eat. You're going on a fast, boy. And so he says, y'all like that translation of the Bible? He says, now get up, verse 6, and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul, they stand there with their lips hanging to the pavement. They stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anybody, okay? This was the divine connection for who? For Saul. They stand there looking, where's all this coming from? They stood there, they didn't hear a sound, but they did not see anyone. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul gets up from the ground, verse 8, and when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see a thing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. For 3 days, he did not eat. For 3 days, he did not drink anything, not even a Gatorade. Come on. In Damascus, there was a disciple by the name of Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias, 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? Ananias wakes up and said, here I am, Lord. He said, the Lord told him, listen, verse 11, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, I've already showed you to him, okay? In a vision, God says, listen, I got this worked out. He has seen a man named Ananias come, and you're going to go there and lay your hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm. This guy is a zealous Jewish leader. All the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here, look, verse 14, with authority from the chief priest to arrest anybody who calls on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and all the people of Israel. I will show him how much, check this out, he must suffer in my name, for my name's sake. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, let me prophesy to you, man. He said, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's going to go ahead and let you start speaking in tongues right here, okay? Paul said, well, I'm not interested in learning any other language. Shut your mouth, man. Just listen to me, okay? And this guy's just sitting there waiting, probably trembling. He says, immediately, verse number 18, something like scales just fall from Saul's eyes. And he could see again. And he got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days. Check where what he's doing now. Now he's hanging out with disciples, the Lord Jesus. Okay? Come on, he gave him a different set of marching orders. God has, you don't think for a moment that God cannot supernaturally turn something around? I'm sitting here looking at people this morning. You were going one way. Now all of a sudden you're going another way. God can turn it all around in just a moment. You keep praying for that person in your family. God can turn it around. He turned this man around in just on a dime. And immediately the Bible says something like scale fell from his eyes and he could see again. And he got up, he's baptized, and after taking some food, got his strength back. Saul spent several days with disciples in Damascus. Once again, he began to preach. Heading straight to the synagogue, okay? That Jesus is the Son of God. His message has changed. And those who heard him were astonished and said, wait a minute, man, ain't this the guy? Come on, somebody say, ain't this the guy? Isn't this the man? Isn't this the one? Isn't this the man who raised havoc? Translation of that is, man, this guy's raised hell. He has. He's wreaked havoc on people, on cities, on towns, on the geographic area. He's wreaked havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name. And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners? He's got the authority to do it. Isn't he come here to take them as prisoners? Yet Saul grew more and more. Check this out, verse 22. Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews that he used to work for them. Okay? There was a conspiracy now. Jews are getting together saying, man, Saul gone bananas. We got to snuff him out, dude. You mean Gamaliel's guy? Yeah, kill him. Get rid of him. There was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. Just hours, days have passed. But Saul learned of their plan. Somebody say discernment. Amen. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates trying to kill this man. But his followers took him at night, lowering him in a basket through the opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were scared to death. Man, I ain't messing with this guy. I've heard about him not believing that he really was the real deal. I don't know if he's converted or not, okay? I don't know if he's changed or not. He could just turn on us, man. Don't trust this guy, you know? Don't trust this guy. But Barnabas, come on, Barnabas. Do your thing, boy. Barnabas shows up. Why? Because he's the son of encouragement. That's what his name means. Barnabas shows up and says, wait a minute, guys. He brings him to the apostles. Verse 27, he told them how Saul on his journey had had a divine encounter. He'd seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly the name of Jesus Christ. This is the story. This is the power of the gospel. This is the evangelion in the original language. This is evangelism. This is the story here. This is the power of the good news of Jesus. Isn't it interesting that the one man Saul, who was the persecutor, has now become the persecuted? Come on. He's now become the persecuted. With every breath that was released from his body, he wanted to capture and kill those who were following Jesus. But then Jesus loved Saul enough to knock him down and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Paul, the great apostle, says, this is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Man, I know it. I've experienced it myself. It is the power, Paul says. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. My question for us this morning is, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? For in the gospel, verse number 17, here's the definition. In the gospel, the righteousness, somebody say righteousness, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, not by works, by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In the gospel is the righteousness of God. In the gospel is right living, okay? In the gospel is rightness. Well, Pastor, I'm just having a struggle with some of the things I'm learning about righteous living. I don't know if I can do this. You can't. You can't. I can tell you, save yourself some stress, honey. You can't live righteous. But only his righteousness imputed upon you will walk you through it, through grace and mercy. Come on. Paul, this very one, is the one who tells us in one of his other epistles, he tells us the things that I want to do, man, that's the things I find myself not doing. I was telling somebody the other day, man, so how many times I had come out of those bars in Raleigh and took that bottle and said, ah, and threw it down, splattered that stuff all over the sidewalk and said, I ain't doing this no more. And the next night, hey, man, what's up? What you doing? 25-cent draft down at Edwards Grocery. Okay. Right back at it again. Right back at it again. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. God is supernaturally working on some of you. He's knocking at your heart's door. You don't want to give up. You don't. Because you like the flesh too much. How many of y'all like flesh? Come on. I do. Anybody like flesh? You like fleshly ways. But can I tell you something this morning? God will replace your flesh with his righteousness. And you don't know anything, honey, until you know the righteousness of God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Come on. I'm giving you the Bible right here in just a minute. The blessed message of God's rightness. Man, I'm preaching myself happy this morning. What you think about it, Pogo? Give me five, buddy. Amen. Come on out and see Pogo this week. He and Raymond are going to rock your world. Come on now. You are brought into good standing with God. That's salvation. That's the righteousness of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Nothing you did. This is not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, the old timers used to say this. Man, you know what? Since I got saved, I drink all I want. I run all the women I want. Since I got saved, man, I learned about God's grace. I do all the things that I want. I just don't want. Okay? That's what they used to say. Come on. I do all these things now that I want to. But since Christ, come on, church, go back to your own life. Since Christ has come in and cleaned house, now that's not what I want. I want to live right before him. Come on. Man, I remember living a dual personality in the spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember as long as I ran into Christians, I was very Christian. If I ran into people in the world, I could slip right back into Egypt all I wanted to, okay? I could. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Easily could do it. I could fall right back in there. But there came a time in my life where I was not happy with this, you know, both back and forth. And I had to make a decision to sell out. That's where some of you are today, right here in this facility. I'm prophesying to you. I'm eating your lunch right now. Some of y'all are right there. You're struggling because between flesh and spirit, you can't sometimes make up your spiritual mind. I got a flea in my sock, man. That booger's about to eat me up. Yeah, I just think I killed him right then. I don't know where he came from. My dog don't have fleas. Come on. Somebody say, I'm glad my pastor's back in town. My wife's looking at me like, man, you're wound up this morning. What'd you have for breakfast? Nothing. I haven't eaten yet. All right. God is good. And you know what? He wants to just shower you with his rightness. Oh, come on, worship team. Come on back up here with me. He wants to just lay his righteousness on you because your righteousness is no good. He wants to, like a blanket, he wants to lay his righteousness on you because yours is like a filthy rag. Study that one. That'll shake your mind up. Come on. Study your righteousness is like filthy rags. That'll just give you a whole day to study that. That'll work your head over. You're given the free gift of eternal life. Get ready. Some of y'all are going to come forward here in just a second because you're not going to be able to help it. Just stay right where you are. You don't have to go to the bathroom. You don't have to move around. Come on, just stay right with me. We're coming to a close here. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed his blood to satisfy the remission of our sins. Hebrews 9:22. He rose again from the grave so that you also could rise. I love the first seven verses that lead up to Paul's word to us about grace. Check this out. This is a story about me. As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Read a little farther. It's about you too. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We deserve to be, to just be, God, just thump us off. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in his mercy, made us alive in Christ. Come on. Even when we were dead in trespasses, transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Joel Tapscott, you said when you got saved, man, you fell in love with Paul. You know why? I'm just talking about Paul today. I'm just telling you a little something about Paul. If you want to see the gospel in its ultimate power, read a little bit about Paul. This man's life was totally, totally changed, totally transformed. God's going to deliver some of y'all today from some stuff. Come on, somebody say stuff. God's going to snatch some things out of you today, okay? And if he don't, it's because you wouldn't let him. All right? But because of his great love for us, he made us alive when we were dead in transgressions. And God raised us up with Christ. And he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness in us in Christ Jesus. This powerful minister of the good news, Paul, said this about his own walk with God. It's in the opening passage that we shared today from Romans 1. The verses are 5 and 6. Through him, Paul said, we receive, check this out, I highlighted it, underlined it in my notes. Through him we receive grace and apostleship. I didn't ask to be where I am today. My life's been a journey. J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. Years and years. And God has placed an apostolic anointing on my life. I got grace and an apostolic role in the earth. I didn't get it because I deserved it. I got it because that was God's plan for me. Okay? God's plan for me. You get grace and being a pastor. You get grace and being a teacher filled with God's power to teach young people, and you're saved and born again in the school system. There's one standing right there. You got grace and whatever it is that he's equipped you with in the Spirit. You got all of that. That he might use you as a vessel. Because God has called you. Somebody say called. He's called you to do what? Repent of your sin. He's called you to do what? Turn from your ways. He's called you to do what? Accept him into your heart and allow him to transform you. He's called you to do what? To serve him faithfully. He's called you to do what? Tell others of this gospel, this very power of God unto salvation. I was with a pastor just this week on the phone for about an hour who was lamenting. He was pouring his heart out to me, Pastor Mike. He was brokenhearted. Why? He was brokenhearted because he said, Pastor Wallace, I trust you, man. I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. My church is dead. My church is dead. He said, I look at it every week. It's dead. Nobody's hungry. I open the altars. Nobody comes. I give the invitation. Nobody ever responds. I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, preach the gospel, share in the power of the Spirit, and nobody wants anything. He said, but I got a handful. This is what he said. I got a handful, man, young people. Their lives have been radically changed. God's turned them around. They don't look like Christians. But he said, man, God's taken that group of young people, and he said, they're what's keeping me hanging on. There was keeping me hanging on. I said, brother, you know what? The whole time you were talking to me, I didn't really have anything to say to you, but can I say something right now? I said, pour your energy into those young people that are hungry for the gospel of God. Because God took 12 men and turned the world upside down. Take that handful you got, man. Move beyond the religious in the crowd. Move beyond those who are there because it's just a good habit. Move beyond those who just show up because it's just a good thing to do. And watch God transform your ministry. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Listen, let God have his way. I said to you early prophetically, some of you are struggling with some stuff. Today's your day, honey. today's the day that you just need to unlock your heart, open it up, and let God do what he wants to do. Preachers, help me. Praise team's here. Prayer team, come on, preachers, help me out here. I'm going to bring you some people this morning. Because I know that God would not wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say to me, it is the power of God unto salvation. God, by His Holy Spirit, is dealing with some of your hearts today. And He wants to have first place. Come on. He wants to have first place. Stretch out across here. Stand with me, church. Come on. No need to be ashamed. No need to be embarrassed. Just say, listen, well, all you're saying is, you know what? I want more. I want more, Lewis Kelly. I want more of the fire of God's presence. Is that where you are? I want more, Pastor Wallace. I don't want to just go through the motions. Time is short. I don't understand all the challenges that we're facing in this world, but I want more. I want more of God. I want more of His power. I want more of His fire in my life. Come on, step out of your seat. The Holy Spirit is touching you right now. The Holy Spirit has laid His finger on you. You know, there are some things that you are holding on to. And if you will release them, you haven't seen, I'm prophesying now, you haven't seen the likes of what God will do in your life if you will release those things to Him. Come on. Come on, sing it, guys. Sing it. Break me apart, God.
Break me apart. I need you.
Hallelujah. Come on. Give it to Him. That's the key right there. I surrender. Hallelujah.
Trust what you say. That you're good. Your love is great. I'm broken inside. I'll give you.
Come on, don't restrain the Holy Spirit this morning. If you need to be here, come. Come. Come, come this morning. Step out of your seat. Hallelujah, Lord.
Soften my heart. Break me apart. I need you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
To pierce through the dark. It pains every part of me.
The Spirit of God is moving. If you need to come, come. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Shila nada boramanda nebeke sata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just say, do it in me, Lord. Come on, some of you in the pews, just lift your hands and just tell him, Lord, do it inside of me. Give me the fire, God. Come on. Give me the fire, Lord. Give me the fire of the Holy Spirit. In these evil days, give me the fire. Burn out the dross. Burn out the dross. Let me turn loose of those things that are holding me back. Let me embrace, God, your presence, your power, your anointing, God. In the name of Jesus. Would you be seated with me for just a moment? Praise God. I love moments like this because we're going to listen. Here's a beautiful thing. This is a beautiful thing. God took this man who was trying to do everything he could to destroy the gospel. He took him and turned his life completely around so that he's in the hall of fame as the man above all men that did incredible things for the preaching of the gospel. The Apostle Paul. And you know what he did? He went around and he established ministry in undesirable places, hard spots, places that nobody would really want to go, hard places. Can I just tell you something? God is still doing that today. He's raising up people. Come on. He's raising up people. He still speaks to hearts. Amen. And says, I want you to quit everything you've been doing. I have a plan for you. The rest of you pastors can be seated. Pastor Mike's going to introduce our guest here. Stay with us for just a window, not the whole door, okay? We're going to let you peep into the life of another Paul, okay? That God has transformed his life. And he's called him to a different mission. And you and I don't have to go. It's a long ways and it's a big airplane, but you don't have to get on it, okay? But you can help somebody else, all right? God bless you.
Let me say one thing before I introduce our guest. Some of you chickened out this morning. You know who you are. You were meant to be up here. And I can tell you, it may be extremely detrimental if you don't catch one of these prayer team members before you get off of this property today. I don't often say things like this, but I'm telling you, today was your opportunity, and you're about to miss it. Confusion and disorder has overtaken you. And it can all be made right today. So this is my warning. Don't leave. Don't leave. Well, I tell you that I am privileged that Pastor has given us the opportunity to work with, the missionaries who come into our services, who've been sharing with us. It has been one of the greatest joys for Bonnie and I to do. And again, we fall in love with these couples. We really do. It doesn't take long. Kathy and Scott Miller are here today, along with their youngest daughter, Allie. And Allie's going to be back at the table at the end, and you can pick up information from there, and you stop by and see her before you leave. We're going to take an offering after the presentation. But I want to say this about them, because they are a very unique couple. Almost to the point that they scare me a little bit. The first thing that Scott told me about himself was that they were nomads. They've lived all over the country. And God's called them all over the world. They've bounced from place to place, extreme differences. And they're about to do it again. They remind me of the, you know, we've been looking for the better part of a year on Wednesday nights, the parables of Jesus. They remind me of the parable of the servant's duty. Whenever, wherever, they do it. They do not have deep roots to anything of this world. And that's the part that scares me, because I do. Now, I know everybody's not called to do what they have to do, but they sacrificed a whole lot of living, this kind of living, to do that kind of living. And we're going to look at a little presentation, and then Scott is going to come and share with us. Watch this.
Have you ever seen a rundown abandoned home that you could tell used to be really nice? Could you imagine what it must have looked like in its heyday? One of the most popular types of shows now on TV are about house renovations. Have you seen these shows? Someone with skills buys an old rundown place and with some elbow grease and know-how, fixes the place up and makes it new again. Sometimes we will come across homes that our city has designated as a historic site. Places like these get fixed up and restored. They look real nice, but no one lives there anymore. You might be wondering why I'm talking about restoring old houses and where I'm going with this. Hi, I'm Scott Miller. My wife Kathy and I are experienced missionaries, having served in Africa and Asia. We love interacting with other cultures and love looking at the possibilities of what these cultures would look like in their redeemed and restored state. And now God has called us to a new place and a new people. And we are looking at this country's current spiritual condition, and by faith, imagining a possible and preferable future. I want to share with you about a country and people that have moved through phases of spiritual conditions that are similar to the phases of an old house. But unlike the armchair craftsman that merely watched someone else work and then quickly changed the channel, I want to offer you an opportunity to roll up your sleeves and be a part of a team that brings positive change to a part of the world that may not be on your radar. The country that we are focused on is extremely important and even influences our own country greatly. Now, Kathy and I have been missionaries in three other countries. One of them, India, was a very spiritual place, but only has an estimated 2.2% of its population that are considered Christian. The country that God has now called us to has a slightly lower percentage of people who are pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And it might surprise you which country it is. God has called us to the country of Germany. Remembering Germany's place in church history, some would wonder why this nation, filled with steeples and historic buildings, would be the recipient of missionary outreach. However, a closer look reveals that those amazing church structures are mostly empty of people and devoid of religious practice. A secular worldview has gripped this nation and stripped these lovely people of hope and purpose. While Germany is a beautiful place and is Europe's strongest economy, the people there are spiritually destitute. Nearly 98% of the population are lost, and they don't even know it. With regard to religion and worldview, Germany is a lot like the old house that needs renovation. There was a time when the Christian faith was new and vibrant. However, with the advent of enlightenment and humanistic philosophies, the German people have largely abandoned faith in Christ. Church, to most Germans, is merely a museum of irrelevant ideas that have no place in culture today. The buildings that represent that old faith have been restored and given a facelift. However, tours of these old churches reveal an emptiness of people and faith. But God. God does not want to leave the German people in a state of blind indifference. Our Lord loves the German people and weeps for the generations and multitudes lost. God has called us, all. He has commissioned us to reach this planet and make disciples. Kathy and I are called to Germany and called to work with a team that will plant churches in strategic cities. We will work with a team in Germany and we will work with a team in America. God is asking us, the church, to spend ourselves toward the fulfillment of our great commission. We are asking you to be a part of our team. God has called us to join Him in what He is doing in Germany. He is able to restore hope and the spiritual climate of Germany. Will you be a part of our team?
Good morning, church. Pastor Wallace, Pastor Mike, thank you so much for the opportunity. So this morning we're singing about the blood of Jesus. And I remember it seemed like a strange thing at one point to be talking about blood and death and all these things. And to somebody coming in off the street, they might not understand these things. You see, the penalty for our sins is death. And while we don't understand a Roman cross, we understand the electric chair. Our penalties, the penalty for my sin, had me strapped down in that chair. And as I looked in the back of that room, I saw Jesus, and I screamed at Him, "I hate you!" And with love in His eyes, He walks up to the front, and He looses the things that are holding my wrists and feet, and He pulls me out of the chair and sits down in it and takes the penalty that I deserved. He did that for me. He did that for you. But you know what? There's a world outside of these walls that He did it for as well. We are the one organism or organization that exists for the people who are not yet members. It is our job, it's incumbent upon us to go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone, even those who don't even know they need this. You know, sometimes success makes us believe that we don't need anybody else. America's been at the top for years. Germany is at the top. We don't need God, we think. But along comes a pandemic that shakes the world, that helps everybody realize that they are in need and brings to the forefront this idea of mortality. Everybody's afraid, trying to save their life from COVID. Bad news, we're all going to die. It's just a matter of when and if. And not if, but when. And the question is how. We're all goners. But we exit this life with hope or not. With a place that we are hoping to be or not. We're called to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. He who tries to save his life will lose it, but those who lose their life for me and the gospel will save it into eternal life. God's calling not only Scott and Kathy Miller, but He's calling you right here in Ahoskie. Lose yourself for the sake of the gospel. Be aware of the conversations and the surroundings when you go out after this, but also tomorrow and the next day. Pay attention to the things that people are saying. Look for opportunity in conversation to open up the idea of faith and speak into their lives. What you have to lose is nothing. What they have potentially to lose is eternity. Now is the time And you've been called for such a time as this. Pastor, thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. I had the privilege of sitting down with Scott, three or four months ago. We sat down, and God was there because we had brisket and ribs and all that stuff. But we sat down, and we talked about this day. We put it on the calendar, and I tried to help him open up to other pastors throughout Northeast North Carolina. I commend you, man, for hearing that voice of God to say, I've called you to go to Germany. And the good news is today is you and I, who've been called out of darkness into the light of the gospel, get to reach into our bank accounts, our hearts, and join them. Amen. And you never have to get on the plane. Amen. You don't have to go anywhere. But you know what we need? This is what we need. Two things. We need a generous offering today. What's a generous offering? $2,000. That's generous. Is that a good offering? Okay. We need a couple of thousand dollars. Okay. Do the best you can. Listen, all you have to do is just say, God, I'm going to sacrifice something this week. I was going to go to Walmart today. I'll knock some things off the list. People give 20s, 50s, whatever, $10, whatever you can give. Give unto the Lord, okay? And then we need some people to do this, to ask the Holy Spirit, God, am I one of those persons that needs to partner with? Don't promise the moon. Don't say, I'm going to support them for 5 years. Just say, for the next year, I'm going to do my dead level best to give them $20 a month or $10 a month or $50 a month, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. And then put their picture on your refrigerator, a place that you frequent quite often, okay? And remind yourself that on the 15th of the month or the 10th of the month or something like that, you make sure you give your missions pledge, okay? And just support that missionary. It's fun supporting missionaries. I always love to support missionaries. And so ask the Holy Spirit, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you would just raise up German partners today. Miller partners today. People who are willing to hear his story now and say, I'm one who for the next year will do my best to stand with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Young lady, if you would, go ahead to your table. I'm going to send you some folks here in just a few minutes. They're going to pick up some pledge forms. Scott, what we like to do is we like for those missionaries not to drop their money in Carpenter Shop. If they do that, we'll get it to you. But we like for you to connect with our people, okay? Because it gives you a deeper sense of connection. It gives them a deeper sense of connection. So if they fill out a form, you feel free to add them to your list and communicate with them by email and updates and things like that, because it keeps them further engaged in this whole mission. It's an amazing opportunity for us today. So would you right now, there are buckets up here, would you right now that are willing to give today to missions and on this Sunday morning in July, just step out of your seat and come, and let's give a generous offering today. If you're writing a check, it's just CSIC. We'll submit one check to the Millers today. And let's just give a generous offering today. God is good. Come on. God is good. God is good. And let's be good to him today. Let's be good to the nation of Germany, who has a ton of people who need to hear the message of the gospel today. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being obedient. Amen. Thank you for being obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if God's spoken to you, pick up a form at the table and just tell Scott or his daughter or his wife, hey, I want to be one of your partners, okay? I want to be one of your partners. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Don't forget Bible school this week, 6:30 each night. It's going to be an absolutely incredible time for you to bring your kids and to allow God to supernaturally invest into their lives and do some incredible things. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your giving. Praise God. Every dollar helps, man. Every dollar counts. Missionaries have a tremendous track that they have to raise. It's kind of like a double lane highway. They got to raise a cash budget for emergencies, and then they got to raise a monthly support. One thing I'll say clearly about the Assemblies of God is they're very smart in what they do. They will not let a missionary get to a foreign field with a potential of failure. You're going to be ready when you leave, because you'll have your cash budget and you'll have your monthly support coming in. And so I commend the AG for that. And I pray that God has used this church today to play a major role in the Miller Missions plan. Amen. Father, in Jesus' strong name, well, would the Millers please stand? Would you, Scott, to stand there? Father, I pray for Scott today. I thank you, Lord, for his life, for his passion, for his calling today, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you have indeed called him to renovate, to restore. God, the picture that he shared with us, it comes from his heart today. And so I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for other assemblies, other churches, even outside of the assemblies of God. Lord, open those doors where people will embrace the challenge to stand with the Millers and to partner with them to change the world. It is the power of God unto salvation. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Listen, cafe's open. Come on. Go by and see Deani. There's some great coffee there, some cold beverages. There's some muffins back there. Come on. Make a visit to the cafe, would you? Don't miss it. Go in there and say hello to someone. Grab a snack. God bless you. VBS volunteers, Vacation Bible School volunteers, if you were not able to make the meeting yesterday, would you meet Pastor Miranda in the back there? Would you meet Pastor Miranda for Vacation Bible School leadership? Pastor Miranda, you're meeting where? In the fellowship hall. VBS workers, fellowship hall. God bless you. Joy, let's take a picture here.